So this is our last lesson on aging gracefully and finishing well. And before we pray, I'll just read an icebreaker. I think I picked this up from nationalreview.com. Here's the title. Scholar, let some people choose their age to fight ageism. An article by a Finnish bioethicist in the Journal of Medical Ethics made the argument that some people should be able to legally change their age to correspond with their experienced age. This is wonderful. I cannot pronounce the scholar's name. It looks like it's Juna Rasmussen. Is from the University of Oslo in Norway. According to this article, entitled A Moral Case for Legal Age Change, there were three scenarios in which a person could change their age. The first one is this. When a person in question genuinely feels his or her age differs significantly from his or her chronological age. And secondly, the person's biological age is recognized to be significantly different than his chronological age. And then third, and when age change would likely prevent, stop, or reduce ageism that, quote, he would otherwise or she would otherwise face. So they're making, you know, this distinction between chronological age, biological age, and emotional age. And they're saying that you should be able to identify with your emotional age. Because this is now, quote, legal age is a cause of severe discrimination. Aren't you thankful that we now know that? We wouldn't have even had to study this topic. We can all just self-identify as a younger age bracket. Now, he's kind of making an argument, a strange argument about protecting minors, which to me is still a ridiculous argument. But if you can self-identify as a, you know, a different sex, gender, then why can't you do it with your age? It's just it's kind of consistent logic, isn't it? Yeah, we better pray after that one. Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our morning. We pray that you bless our class today. Thank you again for a beautiful Sunday morning that you have given to us. Thank you, Lord, for every person that is here today. And we pray that as we finish up our discussion on growing old and aging gracefully, that you would help us today as we talk about some practical issues. And Lord, we thank you for your grace to us through Jesus Christ, Lord, the hope that we have in the gospel, even beyond this life. We pray that you would help us to live wisely, Lord, in the days you've given to us. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Now, the article that I just read, this is a great quote by G.K. Chesterton. He has a lot. He wrote this as an Anglican, and he says this, quote, "There is a thought that stops thought. That is the only thought that ought to be stopped." That is a great piece. I'll read it one more time in case you missed it. There is a thought that stops thought. That's this article, right? That is the only thought that ought to be stopped. And that little sentence describes much of our modern discourse. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, I am already being poured out. He writes this at the end of his life, right? And we're assuming here he's an older man. I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. So that's a great, great reminder, isn't it, for the way that we conduct ourselves and live in this world, right? It is going to have an impact in eternity. So, what have we learned from this is our eighth week studying this. What have we learned from aging gracefully and finishing well? Have you made any changes in your thinking in the last 7 weeks?
I have realized that you really need to enjoy life and praise God every day for the life that you have and every minute that you have. This has been very helpful for me because we're kind of going through this right now with Cecilia, and it just makes you realize really how short life really is. I mean, she's 77, which to me, you know, when I was a kid, it was like, oh my God, that's ancient. But now it's like, well, that's not that old. So it just really, you just really have to appreciate what God gives you and live with what he's given you and what he wants for you.
Life, the older we get, the more we realize that life is so short, isn't it? Okay, Sue.
Well, the other thing I've begun to see in all the changes at my age are that God has given them. God has caused gray hair. God has caused knees that don't fit or work so well. Mm-hmm. And who am I to argue with God? Now, it's not to say we don't do a few things about it if we can, but...
It's true. Our bodies get older, they begin to break down, more pains. You just hear people talking about it. So, okay, Mr. King.
I think we still have a lot to contribute. And it might be even more now than before.
Great point. I agree with that completely. Okay, we have a couple over here, and then in a moment I'm going to ask Dave Brandt some thoughts on the first major point we're going to look at today.
I just glanced down and noticed that power of attorney is one of the things. And we find it is really misunderstood so much is that people do not understand that power of attorney ends at your death. So they think that person's going to go on and take care of everything for them when there is no longer any power in their power of attorney. So that next step that you have on there is very important with designating someone to carry out your wishes.
I didn't even know that.
Ah, well, good.
Thank you for sharing that.
Mark that off your list.
And then we're going to get to... actually, this first point is because of Thelma and talking to Thelma and Cody after the class last week. So, Thelma, thank you for raising that issue. Okay, Mr. Carson, and then Thelma has one. Okay, well, I don't want to get into that. I might get in trouble. So... okay, we're going to ask a few questions, a couple of brief statements, and I'm going to ask Dave to share some thoughts. Plan your will and trust. Okay, I asked for help last week. I'm embarrassed to tell you how outdated our stuff is. Mabel and I did a will when Luke was like one. We have not changed anything since then, right? So we scheduled a meeting, we talked to someone. That's why we asked for help. What do? I talked to several people last week, and so we finally made an appointment. Is it for this Friday, Mabel? And you have to be prepared to spend about $1,000 to do everything. I think Thelma told us that last week. So I'm thankful that they brought this up. I wasn't even going to talk about this first point, but this is pretty practical. But just a couple of thoughts. My wife told me that there's a new trend with older people being buried. They want to have their cell phone with them.
Oh, my gosh.
It's true, right? It's something that we heard about. And something that is not part of this topic, but my wife attended the women's conference at Trinity Bible Church. It was Friday night and Saturday morning, and she said it was excellent. Guthrie, what's the first name of Belle? Nancy Guthrie spoke, and then you may want to keep that in mind because they're going to have a marriage conference next year around this time with, what's the name of the guy coming again? Ortlund is coming. He's written a great book, but she said it was a wonderful conference. She was a great speaker, and I found out about it late, but just so you know. Okay, prepare all inheritance issues while you are healthy. One point that I'm just going to make about this, same as taxes. There isn't a single answer for every individual that's the same, right? You have different tax situations. I am not being dogmatic on what you have to do or do not do. I ministered with people that were fairly poor for much of my ministry, and they didn't have a will. You know, they do have to have some legal paperwork, but they weren't as concerned perhaps as we are. So this is something to keep in mind. These are just general reminders. Again, sounds like if you go through a family lawyer, the cost is about $1,000 to get your things updated. So, I don't know, Dave, if you want to, you're welcome to come up if you want to, or I'll bring the microphone there either way. But you mentioned something helpful, I thought, about this, these first five questions. Any thoughts? And then we can open it up for discussion. I think it was quite helpful.
Love my paper.
Yeah, go ahead. Would you rather use this temporarily?
What's that? No, that's not. Okay. No, that's fine. No,
you
I'm just
write
gonna,
anything down. You can write
No, I'm not going to. I'm good.
I thought that story you told was helpful.
Anyway, good morning. My name is Dave, and I identify as a 32-year-old today. And if I fly United, I'm going to identify as a first-class passenger. So, you guys understand what's going on with that. But anyway. How many of you have had the distinct pleasure of being a trustee for a trust? Okay. It was the most arduous thing I have ever done. It was, I had no idea. So I was talking to Nathaniel, and there are a couple of things that you can do. But a will and a trust allow you, and it's worth the money, as Nathaniel said. When we did ours, I think it was like $600, but that was 25 years ago. So, but and it's well worth the money. There's a dirty little word associated with dealing with death that we all want to avoid, and it's called probate. Exactly. So they hold in probate. Essentially, if no one is assigned as an heir to an estate, and an estate, it could be $10. It doesn't matter, right? When you say estate, it's like, oh, it must be hundreds of thousands of dollars. No, it's everything that the deceased owned. It could be $10. It could be personal items, exactly. So it's all held in. It's held until things are resolved, until they can figure out. So while you're healthy, and as Nathaniel said, while you're healthy and you're living, you want to define these things, right? Who gets what? The other thing while you're healthy, or maybe depending, not so healthy, but nevertheless, you want to define, and this is a living will or a living trust, while you're living, how you want to be cared for until the point of death. In other words, very specific medical instructions. Some people go radically on that and say, do not resuscitate. Some people will say, no life support after a week. It's however you choose to define it. It takes the burden off of the potential survivors and the other members of the family. This is how Dad or this is how Mom wanted their last days to be dealt with. They don't want to be on life support for 2 years. You know, we're not gonna go down that route. Nathaniel mentioned, I'm just offering some thoughts here. Nathaniel mentioned something about doing his will 25 years ago. We did the same thing. I think, yeah, it was before kids, and it essentially has a blanket statement: any children, any number of children. So it's kind of open-ended. Now you do have the option of writing, and you can write it. You can write what's called a codicil, and that's an addition or an addendum to the will. All you have to do is have it notarized and inserted into the, you know, into the paperwork if you want to change something. You know, number three son gets everything. You know, when you originally wrote it, and you have a change of heart about what number three son is going to get. So, for whatever reason, yeah. So. And some people have done that. I mean, you've heard it in the news that, you know, the heirs of some wealthy people end up with nothing, and some charity gets everything. So, what's that? What's that? Yeah, the cat gets everything. Yeah, whatever. But no, what I with the experience of being the trustee of my mom's trust was very interesting. The trust was put together in California, and it was put together under my mother's Social Security number. I discovered two things. When I tried to access the trust from Arizona with the IRS, I got kicked out. Because the trust was developed in California. So I went back to California sat with the banker where my mother had an account, and we were able to have access. Interesting how that works, and interesting how your IP address is tracked. I learned that lesson. The other thing that was a challenge was because it was under her Social Security number, and I had contacted Social Security saying my mother is deceased, the Social Security number was now null and void. So now it appeared as fraudulent activity. Somebody from California is trying to access a trust through a null and void Social Security number. Sounds like voting in Chicago three times. You know, it's just like, you know, so dead people voting. So I wasn't able to get through. So when I went back to California, the guy at the bank was very gracious and very helpful. So my counsel is if you do a trust for whoever, how many of you know what an EIN is? Employer Identification Number. Virtually every business has an EIN, right? It's not a Social Security number. So if the grantor, that's the one that puts the trust together, has an EIN number, it's not associated with your Social Security benefits, so that, you know, when you pass, there's no more Social Security, but it's a separate, it's called an EIN number. That way you can, it's much easier to access. So what we did with the banker is we established an EIN number for the trust, and then everything was relatively, and I use that with a capital R, relatively simple after that. If you have the opportunity to be a trustee of a trust, be prepared to be on the phone for a long time, for several weeks, depending on where, you know, what is part of the estate. So, you know, there was stock, there were mutual funds, there were other assets, and all of those required probably a 3 or 4 hour on hold back and forth phone call. Okay. The other thing that was really interesting is they wanted to make sure I was who I was. And so they had questions to identify that I was who I was. Well, I was. Praise God I had some, even though I'm identifying as a 32-year-old, Bill. But, yeah. Did I say 33? I think I'm 32 today. Yeah. Anyway, this was very interesting. The information on these security questions that they were able to dig out. This was Vanguard. Remember Vanguard? Anyway, this was Vanguard. So they asked, they said, which of the following companies have you had an association? And so they list 4 companies. 3 of them I had never heard of, and praise God I had recall of an LLC that myself and 2 other guys started 20 years ago. And they said, you know, they named this LLC, and the light goes on. You know, I'd completely forgotten about it. I said, yeah, that's the one. So they had records of going, what's that? Everything in your life. It was just these security questions just, you know, were amazing. So if you develop a trust, and I would suggest a living trust or a living will, so that there is medical instruction, you know, based on our experience, and both of my parents had written into theirs, you know, no extraordinary life saving or whatever life support systems, yeah. life support systems, and they also defined who got what. And it was very simple. All of the assets divided by three and equally distributed. I will also tell you that if you are the trustee of a trust or the executor of a will, trusts have trustees, wills have executors, just in terms of definition. Be prepared for a little bit of pushback from one or more of your siblings. Sadly, my brother didn't think that he got his fair share. No matter how many times I said, here's the deal, here's the gross amount. And I said, and I'm not even taking, and I was kind of joking, but I said, I'm not even taking out trustee fees out of this. So anyway, he didn't think, he said, well, what happened to the house assets? Well, they're in there. What happened to this? What happened to that? So anyway, it was a bit entangled, and but nevertheless. I don't know what else to...
You didn't even mention the fund dealing with insurance companies that don't want to pay.
Oh, yeah. The life insurance company. That was a good one. and what complicated it is my mother had a life insurance policy with the same company that I at one time had a life insurance policy with. So they confused the two. So we went back and forth with, you know, for a while. Yeah. Sandy, yes.
Husband. But in my parents' trust, it had if any of us children contested the trust, that they would get nothing, and it followed through. Yeah, it helped one of my siblings with his inheritance. Did you want this inheritance, or do you want nothing? So he didn't go any further.
So I see everyone feverishly taking notes. Write this codicil into the into the will and the trust.
This was done by a lawyer. And
but you could just write it in and have it notarized and stick it in there.
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Make sure you have some witnesses too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Steve.
Somebody, a professional. If I'm not mistaken, you can pay a professional to be the executor or the trustee or whatever.
Yes.
Just kind of curious. Like, I assume that's fairly expensive. You think, well, you know, like I have my brother, for example, being the executor of mine, but kind of given all of the headaches and the hassle, I mean. Do you have any advice on that?
I would have a lot more hair if I had gone that route, but I was stubborn that way. I thought, you know, I can figure this out, and even flew my sister over because my sister oversaw all mom and dad's affairs because she lived in the same city, so she kind of knew where everything was, and she had all the paperwork, but I was, as the oldest, I was named as the trustee. So we sat together and kind of poured through all of this stuff. I even sought the advice of an old client of mine whose assistant, you know, because I said, Kurt, you know, I keep getting blocked out. He said, well, you need an EIN number. I said, okay, I need an EIN number. So he switched me over to his assistant and said, well, here, this is how you do this. But I still couldn't do it from Phoenix. It had to be where the trust was and the whole deal. Anyway, Bill.
Yeah, I had a question. You keep saying they wanted this, they wanted that, they questioned this. Who is they?
What's that? My younger brother.
Oh, no.
The insurance company.
You keep talking about... So-and-so wanted this. So-and-so looked into the records and came up with this question. Oh. Who is they?
It was Vanguard for one, where my mother had some mutual funds in Vanguard.
So it was like a bank or something.
Well, Vanguard is it's an investment house, yeah. But yeah, but they wanted to make sure that I was who I was, that there wasn't fraudulent activity, somebody trying to access and liquidate these mutual funds into somebody else other than my bank account.
They should have been just presented with the trust papers.
Oh, they were. It doesn't matter.
That would have settled it.
No. They want to make sure.
We went through all that with my mother. My brother was the trustee.
Right.
Absolutely no questions, no problems. Whatever he wanted to do got done.
Right.
There was no trust of the nicest thing I ever saw.
But the trust was developed in Arizona.
Yes.
That's true.
And was distributed in Arizona. So that was the... That was the big hiccup that I had never anticipated.
Huh.
Yeah.
We'll have Jackie ask her question, then after that, I'm going to have Mindy read something, if that's okay.
My question is, are you saying a will is not enough?
Well, a will... You can do a living will on this side of death, right?
Yes.
To take care of those things. But trusts, I'm suggesting that trusts are the kind of the way to go. It's a separate entity entirely. All of the assets go into the trust, the asset, and then it flows out of the trust without any tax consequences.
Okay, quick one, and then we'll have Mindy read.
Okay. My family trust, it included financial and medical will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that it explains everything, and I talk to the kids, because you have to ask these people if they really want to be the executor. What if they don't want to? I mean, you're trusting everything that you have to somebody that don't want to do it, or somebody, even though they're the oldest, they're not capable of, it, you know, doing what you want to do.
Right.
So you have, like Steve said, you can even ask somebody and pay him to do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you have to talk to them, to your kids, you know, that this is what mom wants to do.
Right. Yeah, and the other thing that's written in is in terms of the trustee. Then there are co-trustees. In other words,
the song that you want to be sang.
Yeah. No, if I. Yeah. Anyway.
The original person can't.
Right. A co-trustee or two levels down.
Okay, we're going to turn on our Sovereign Grace Radio and listen to our announcer read a short story. Thank you, Dave.
Okay, this is from a book, The Peacemaker, by Ken Sandy. This is called Glorify God. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says, "Don't you try to come in," Frank yelled through the door. "I have a bat, and I'll hit anyone who comes in." "Come on, open the door, Frank," Joe responded from the porch. "We just want to talk." "This is getting out of control," Jenny said as she pulled at Joe's arm. "I think we should call our lawyer and have him talk with Frank. But the realtor and the buyer will be here in 10 minutes. The deal will fall apart if they can't get in to look at the house. It will fall apart a lot worse if Frank goes after them with a bat. I'm going to call right now and postpone the meeting until we can do something with Frank." "Okay, but I won't let him hold this cell up forever. You've got 2 days to get him out of here, Jenny, and after that I'll come back with my own bat. I'm sure John and Matt will be happy to join me." Joe stormed over to his car and drove out of the farmyard, venting his anger by spinning a wave of gravel across the yard. As Jenny drove back to town, she felt utterly trapped between her four brothers. Ever since their mother died, they had been fighting over the farm. Frank had been born with a disability that had kept him at home all his life. In the early years, their mother had cared for him, but as her health failed, Frank became the caregiver rarely leaving her side. When she finally succumbed to a massive stroke, Frank's world collapsed. Things got worse when their mother's will was read. She and their dad had established a trust many years earlier to provide for Frank. In their will, they left the farm equally to their other four children. Now that both parents were dead, Joe, John, Matt wanted to sell the property as quickly as possible. When they told Frank, he was terrified at the prospect of moving out of the only home he'd ever lived in. As he resisted the idea, heated arguments ensued, and now Frank was cornered in the lonely farmhouse. Although Jenny needed the money from the sale as much as her brothers did, she did not like the idea of forcibly evicting Frank. The three brothers were oblivious to his fears and determined to push ahead. Jenny felt powerless to stop them. So then they called in the pastor, and they had, you know, conversations, and the pastor said, what is more important to you in this situation, to get your money as soon as possible, as most people would, or to demonstrate the love of Christ to your brother? And then John says, oh, I see, said John. You want us to be good little Christians who just give in to others and walk away from what's rightfully ours. So this conversation went on for a little while. And then God answered their prayers in a way Joe had never expected. 3 weeks later, the entire extended family gathered together in the banquet room of a local restaurant. Jenny had somehow overcome Frank's fears and persuaded him to leave the house and join the family for dinner. 12 nephews and nieces watched with rapt attention as he walked into the room and nervously sat down at the end of the table. As the eldest son, Joe asked for everyone's attention. Frank, our family has gathered together today to honor you. For the past 10 years, you devoted yourself to caring for Mom. Today, we want to present you with this special plaque. It says, to our brother, Frank, the best of all sons, who cared for our mother with selfless love and undying devotion. Your companionship filled her life with joy and delight and was a constant reminder to her of the love of God. With deepest gratitude to a wonderful brother from Joe, John, Jenny, and Matt. Tears welled up in Frank's eyes as Joe handed him the plaque. Before he could speak, Joe handed him an envelope. Frank, he went on, in appreciation for all you did for Mom, we want to give you this gift. Is an agreement we have all signed that gives you a life estate in the farmhouse. That means you'll be able to stay there as long as you live. We found a buyer who is willing to purchase the rest of the farmland. Ownership of the house will eventually pass to our children, but as long as you want to live there, we want to know that it is your home. As Frank clutched the envelope, the dam of emotions finally burst. Months of uncertainty and fear gave way to sobs of relief and gratitude. As Joe leaned over and hugged his brother for the first time in years, Joe's teenage son leaned toward his sister and whispered, maybe there is a God after all, because there's no way Dad would have done this on his own.
That's a true story, right, of these things that take place in families. And do you know of a situation in your relative or extended family where there's been an inheritance dispute? It can happen. I've experienced a few of these. We'll move down to, well, some people say, God calls us to walk by faith, not by sight, therefore we shouldn't plan this stuff out. That is not true for the simple reason that when Jesus is about to die, right, in John 13, 14, 15, 16, he's taking care of the final inheritance arrangements before he dies, and he's reassuring they're fearful. So that you find the biblical precedent for that in Scripture. What did Jesus do with his mother before he died? He entrusted her to John, right? Israelite inheritance works a little bit different, right? The firstborn, the oldest, gets a double portion. And there are still some societies that do that. When we think about our own family, inheritance disputes can separate brothers and sisters that are adult. There are a lot of sad stories. My grandmother, they all came from Norway. Her mother came from Norway, and they lived in Upper Peninsula, Michigan, right on Lake Michigan, a beautiful little city. And she moved to southern Michigan, and she always wanted to go back up there. So she built a retirement home, thinking she's going to go up there all the time. And, you know, she's lonely. She went up there and tried to live up there. She still had a few relatives. And she finally decided to sell it. And how convenient. I have a relative that he's a realtor, and he can live in the house and sell it for me. He had no interest in selling that house. He actually ended up keeping the house for himself. And she was basically swindled out of a whole house like that. Again, a lot of other stories that we can tell. You can have disagreements with your spouse about what to do with your inheritance, right? It can be difficult enough when both are Christians, but if one is not a Christian or there's significant different views, there's going to be some pushback there. Now, before we get to the section on inheritance, Maybe we can jump down to the last section of this lesson. What are some practical applications and challenges for the local church? These are 10 ideas that I thought of that we could do to minister to the elderly in our congregation. And there could be more. And if you have more ideas, I'd like to know your thoughts on this. But the first one, and if you have ideas today, tell us. I'll just read through these and share what I mean by this. What I mean, number one, we could have a reverse church work day. We go to the older person's house and help them repair something. Let's not mess up the church. Let's mess up someone's house. I mean, Mike and I were visiting with one of our elderly people this week, and there was an issue of a repair in a ceiling. So there are things like that that could be done. That's just one idea. Two, we could have practical adoptions. This came from one of the persons here in the class. Some of us, we have children, but the children do not have living grandparents, right? Or they live states and states away. You see them once a year. And it could be the reverse could be true. So maybe in God's providence, you know, families with children could develop good relationships with someone that is older, and you can, in a sense, practically adopt them as your grandparents or your grandchildren. My brother kind of did this. He had this experience. He developed a wonderful relationship when he was in college with a family that they rented a bottom part of their house to. He was like a retired Air Force officer, and they didn't have, their kids were far away. I mean, they have become their grandparents in many ways. So that's not a conflict between your real parents or your real grandparents. It's just something that can happen. So if you're older and you're thinking about that, you know, pray that God, if you're open to that, pray that God would allow that. Again, three is easy, right? Home visits. We could send a list around and say, when would you like to be visited? Let's sign up and we'll visit you. Four, this is something that I'm willing to do. If the elderly people, and Packer defines elderly as 65 plus, okay, but we can say 50 plus if you want. He says, those are kids. We could have a regular weekday gathering for the elderly, whether it's once a week, you know, every other week, once a month, whatever you want to do. Because this ties into the application that we can pray for the church ministries, pray for the world. That's a very practical application we can do. And even for fellowship, formal, you know, it could be informal, lunch, whatever. There could be some singing. My understanding is the older people love to sing the hymns, right? And we can have a combination of that. So that's something that, you know, I've talked to the elders about the possibility, but nothing is definite on that. Six, we could start a nursing home ministry, visitation on a regular basis, you know, pick out a nursing home or two, have a church service. That's a wonderful way for guys that are interested in teaching or preaching to start in a nursing home's facility. When you establish a relationship like that, you want to try to, I think, go long-term, because the people really miss you if they get attached to you. And that's something, if they're lonely especially. Seven was something that Brian mentioned, I think was very helpful. We could prepare a list of hymns that would be ready to go if someone is near death in the hospital or in their home, that volunteers could go, right, maybe members of the choir, just to go and sing hymns to that person. Wendy has a, where's our microphone? That's a very practical thing, yes.
I was just going to say, Cammy and Lincoln came, and I asked, they were going to come visit Brian, and I said, can Lincoln bring his guitar?
Good.
And we just sang worship music, and mm-hmm. but it not only ministered to Brian, but it ministered to the hospital staff mm-hmm. and the people, other people visiting, because it was just a really special time. And I got a critical care doctor out of his comfort zone of talking about his own musical talents.
Good.
And he's good. Not very comfort. And then the uh-huh. nurses didn't know that he did that. So it was. Huh. It just ministers to different people in different ways, and you don't know what God's going to do through it all. So.
Yeah, people can come to know Christ out of something like that. That's a good example. Eight, this is if you're not in the older bracket, this is a practical challenge for you, and I'm really serious about this. Invite an older person or an older couple to your house once a month. If they don't want to come to your house, say, I can come to your house, or we can meet for coffee or whatever. There are multiple ways to meet up and encourage someone. That's something that you could consider doing. So if you're serious about that, you know, get a list, coordinate with a deacon. Say, okay, who needs visited? The deacons know a lot about some of these things. They do a lot behind the scenes, and they know people that maybe would appreciate a visit. Nine, you know what, maybe Sunday evening or prayer meeting time, have an older person give a testimony to get to know them more, or what is God doing in your life? That can be something that can encourage all of us. And then 10, just call or text, you know, some of our elderly people throughout the week. Or, you know, call them on the telephone, text them. If they like email, there are many ways that we can touch base with our older community to try to make them really know that they are important in our congregation. I'm going to share something. Do you see number 5 above this, the government, and then number 4? Okay, I must have added that. What does 4 say? I'm talking about the section ahead of this, about the local church can help when a family is unable to fulfill obligations. See that part?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to bring two comments here. The first one is, and this is, we have difficulty with just with city codes, city of Phoenix or state codes. All of these empty buildings here, I would convert those into apartments for people to stay that are members of the congregation. If old people need free housing, give it to them for free, right? The problem is there's no plumbing there, and it would be a nightmare to go through. It's almost, I don't know if it's cheaper to build a new building, okay? I'm just saying that's one idea. Our home church that we were sent out, they had 3 apartments, and they allowed seminary students to stay for free. It's an amazing help. That way we didn't have debt when we get out of school. Another idea that I have had, and I haven't talked to my wife about this, but she knows that I've talked a little bit about this. I would love to buy a big, big house and have 3 or 4 older members in church live with me. And take care of them. Mabel, is it okay? and I'm actually kind of serious about that, right? I'm serious about that because I don't want to see you, you know, go into a nursing home if you don't want to. Some people want to go in the nursing home, they like it, and that's no problem on my end. But I just want to get through that before we open up for questions. We may not cover everything here, but okay, what are your thoughts? We still have about 10 minutes, and we'll come back to the lesson if we have time, but questions, thoughts, Mindy?
Yeah, when my grandparents got married, one of the first things they did was buy their funeral plots or whatever. Okay. That was back in the hills of Kentucky, mm-hmm. and that's just right. What was done. So it was kind of weird after my grandfather passed. I went to visit my grandmother, and she goes, oh, you have to go see your grandfather. He's on a hill. It's really great. Mm-hmm. And it had like a dual headstone. It had like his name and the dates. And then it had her name and her birth date and a dash and a blank. And I'm like, oh, that's just creepy. But she was like, oh, look, I'm going to be with him. And it was, but that was like one of the first things they did as they got married was buy their funeral plots. And when he passed, she had her stone already there, her little marker already there. And I'm like, okay, that's weird.
That's very common in the Philippines as well. You buy.
I mean,
when you're young,
Tim and
you
I actually
plot.
Haven't talked about it at all, yeah. And he has cancer, so we probably need to have this conversation.
Yeah, if you want to be buried, then you should talk to people in the church that know about, you know, how do I buy a plot, what's it cost, and so on. As far as I know, it's all free for me, so I don't have to plan that. I'm thankful. Yes. Okay. We have Dave, and then give us your ideas on what we can do to improve this area.
I think it's interesting you have 4 and 5. If we combine 4 and 5, historically, the church fulfilled the social needs
okay.
before the government did.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And,
Social Security is a modern invention.
And we have become woefully dependent on the government for, right. In my opinion, too many things. Mm-hmm. That was the church's role, and if we can take on that mindset that this is our responsibility, and I wholeheartedly agree with you on the living facilities on the campus. Before we sold the property north, mm-hmm. I have in my sketchbook a site plan of apartments and garden plots and those kinds of things for that piece of property to the north that I thought would have been, you know, Ann and I talked about, well, what if we built, you know, apartments for, you know, our older members, and, you know, there would be gardens to take care of and some other things, and they're right here on campus. But
they can live in safety and...
Yeah, exactly. But that's...
Yeah,
we sold
like
that parcel, and that's... Yeah. Mm-hmm. That would be a good, yeah, it may be for sale soon, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, those are good things to think about. And Mrs. Hurt hasn't, in the back.
I did want to tell you, in the state of Arizona, if you have a will, it goes to probate, and you have to pay all those costs. So it'll come out of the estate.
Any guess on what the cost is, and would that still be true if you had a trust?
I don't know what the cost is, but I know it can be thousands of dollars.
Right. Okay.
And it'll be time that you have to wait.
Right.
If you have a living trust, it does not go through probate, and the estate can be settled right away.
That's true. Okay, good. Those of you that know this, teach us, because I'm going to try to finally update my things this week. It's better to pay the money now in an investment than pay two or three times more later, right? Okay.
I know you were sharing how much it costs to do these things. We are part of Legal Shield, who has their lawyers that specialize in different areas. And so if you need one to set up a trust, they have those. If you need one to set up a will, they have those. To when our daughter and son-in-law were trying to get custody of children, it was almost a done deal overnight. I mean,
is that right?
It was because so efficient, and we have had them take care of us with accident situations. So we speak very highly of that. And it's just a monthly membership you pay.
Oh, really?
And so when you need them, they're there.
Okay. Eagle Shield.
Legal.
Oh, Legal Shield. Legal Shield.
Legal Shield.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we can share with you, you know, next week if it's accomplished, like what was our experience, what we learned. Good, good. Any other? Okay, we have one more here in the back from Marlo. And no, that's okay. And then maybe give us a 2-minute update on how is Lily doing?
Oh, okay. Well, that's going to be fast. So a carpenter at my previous church made a beautiful casket that was available to anyone who needed one for a viewing for their ceremony, which was just a big blessing to many people who were in trouble at that time. And my baby needs an ostomy bag. We're not sure if it's going to be upper or lower intestine, but all the other options have been ruled out. So now we've got to wait to schedule surgery here in Phoenix. So
how soon would the surgery take place?
I don't know. Okay. I was kind of hoping they would do it in San Diego and have mercy on us, but the doctors are pretty territorial about their patients, so they sent us back here to our referring doctor.
Okay. Thank you for that update. And also, those of you that have, again, expertise in these areas, we can learn a lot from you and save some If I was a lawyer, I would want to do everyone in my church for free, to be honest. We saw that in the Philippines. Doctors.
Lawyer.
No, I don't know. Yeah. They charge so much, right? Doctors, right? We had doctors in our church. They would give out free prescriptions on Sunday to the people that didn't have health insurance. It's really,
get in trouble?
Yeah, no, they were doctors, so I can't do that. But really nice to see, you know, people helping each other like that. And God doesn't want us all equal. He doesn't want us all making the same income, right? Because that kind of robs us of the opportunity for charity as well. Any other thoughts before we race through the inheritance questions? I'm going to ask you a couple of questions on inheritance. And thank you for all of your thoughts. I really found it valuable. Okay. Let's see. Proverbs 13:22 does mention, right, that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. That's talking about the grandchildren, right, at least. But a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. If you're not old, if you're in your working years, right, the way that you live your life now, you can either live for, you know, delayed gratification. You can either live just for the moment, take that vacation and all that. Or you could think about, well, can I save anything for my children, for the children's children? So those are things that you can think about. What would you like to do with your, you know, the money that God has given to you? Two, are there some adult children that should not receive any inheritance? I don't have a clear answer on this because you have to make your own decision, but that can be a difficult situation, right? If I have a son that is a drug addict, it may not be wise for me to just give him, you know, an equal share of the inheritance. Maybe I could say another sibling could help manage it for him or so on. Yes. Okay. Steve.
Just
you know, if you pass away and your kids are, you know, let's say in their early 20s, that kind of a thing, mm-hmm. You know, having a lot of money at a young age can also be a dangerous thing. And so I think you can put something into your will where you kind of gradually...
in pieces, kind of proportioned out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Someone else have that comment back there? Okay. Yes. Dave's... So what he's saying?
Yeah.
So after 25, then they can have more of the income. Yeah, that's a good... Okay. Okay. That's good. All right, let's see. So those are things... number three, when is the appropriate time to distribute your inheritance? Now, sometimes we think, well, after we die. But not everyone thinks that way. Some people that have been, you know, blessed with wealth, they actually want to share that wealth with their children and grandchildren while they're living, right? And so they will pay for the vacation so that everyone can come together. We know some families like that, and the grandparents are thinking to themselves, we can have wonderful family memories by sharing part of that now. You can give so much, right, so many $1,000s per year per person that's not taxable. So that's one thing to consider. That's probably not going to be the problem of all of us here. But if you have that opportunity, then praise God for that. Any last thoughts before we close in prayer? Yes, Mindy. Mm-hmm.
My sister's husband's family has pretty good funds. And Sherry was going to buy a new car. And they just said, oh, well, let's just, you know, we'll just give you part of your inheritance early and we'll just buy it for you. So I don't have wealthy in-laws, but she does. So good for her. So.
That's a blessing, isn't it? That's a blessing. Good. Thank you for all your insights. Dave, thank you for sharing those thoughts. Hopefully that if you haven't prepared a will or a trust, that you can start thinking about that. While you're healthy. Okay, Father in heaven, we thank you for our morning class. Thank you, Lord, for this theme that we've been considering the last several weeks. Lord, thank you for all of the insights that many people here have about the legal process of inheritance and whether we should have a will, a living will, a trust. Lord, we do pray that you would help us to be wise stewards in this area. We pray that you would continue to use these members to help other members that are in need. And Lord, we thank you for providing so much for us. We do pray, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts as we come to worship you in our next hour. We pray for Pastor Dan as he ministers the word to us, that we would have open hearts to receive what your word will speak to us today. And we pray that you bless our entire day today. Thank you in Christ's name. Amen.